You're good to go.
Good to go.
Excellent. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Talk to Danielle podcast. I am your host, Danielle C. Baker. And before we get started, be sure to like, follow, and subscribe to whichever channel you're listening or watching from. And we're already in season three. It's kind of funny because we're recording ahead of time. So it's the year is not done, but season three has officially started. And I have an amazing guest coming on. We have the lovely Shelley Murdoch. I love her so much, and you're going to see why. There's so much energy, but she's all about fitness and mobility, strength. We all really, really need that. She already has a book coming out, and this is me not being prepared. I'll show it later. I'm supposed to have the book next to me. You'll see when I pass the mic on to her. And she's working on another one. So we're going to be talking about the how important it is. We keep talking about fitness, about how it's important for our physical health. But there's so much more to that. Shelley just kind of breaks it down for us. So thank you so much, Shelley, for coming on. I'm really happy to have you on the show. Thank you for coming.
Thank you so much, Danielle. I'm really, really excited to be here. I love to share the global message of getting people active from kids to kid adults and everyone on either end of those spectrums, getting everybody moving and having some fun. So I'm so grateful for you to bring me on your show. I'm really a huge fan, girl fan. So
We're
thank
proud
you
of
for
each other.
having me.
No, thank you. I think this is what I like about it. And as we talk more, the listeners and the people who are watching will see you have such a great energy. And it clicked almost instantly. And while you were introducing yourself, I just kind of pulled the book up. So this is what the book looks like right now, Healthy and Fit for Life. Amazing book. And then we're going to talk about the new one coming up. But before we get started, can you kind of tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got to where you are today?
Okay. Well, it's kind of a vibrant little tapestry of how life was. Regular job for a period of time, liked what I did, enjoyed it, and then a bit of transformation. So at about age 58, I changed career. I had this overwhelming challenge of trying to balance my professional life and looking after my mom, who had Alzheimer's at that time. And so that was an impossible way to balance in my life. So I realized I needed to change something, and that change had to come for me for both my life as well as my family's. And even though my children were grown up at the time and, were married and not living on their own, I needed to pivot my career for myself, for my health and my wellness. So I went back to what I studied in university, and I recertified everything that I did. I studied phys ed in university. And I got all my certifications to be a professional fitness trainer, a yoga instructor, kickboxing, Pilates, all the things that I love and I wish people did with me every day in my life. And that journey just, journey has kind of propelled me forward. It gives me a purpose, and it gives me an option to give back to community at the same time. And because I was 58, it also gave me that opportunity to show that you can be vital at any age. Starting your career at 58 and being a fitness trainer is different than when you start when you're in your 20s, right? So quickly on that, I've been doing that for a number of years, and I loved it because I'm 65 now, and I've had the best job ever. 18 months ago, I took a writing course with Lucky Book Publishing, and it was write a bestseller in 4 weeks, and the course was for aspiring authors, of which I didn't know I was one at the time, and to tell their story. So I figured I'd tell my story, and I successfully completed the book, and kind of encapsulates all my journey of what I just shared with you and how to get people moving. So my book is a vehicle, I guess, to advocate for fitness and wellness and getting people active and moving from kids to grown-ups. And thank you for having me on, because this really is important. It is important for our healthcare system and for us.
Yeah, it
Yeah.
is so important, and we talk about it. People talk and talk, but we
Yeah.
shouldn't have to wait until something happens like it did with your mother. I recently, as well, my mother a few years back. This year is my father and my stepmother both in not realizing, because they like to play the part that they're fine, they're autonomous, but with the health, a couple of health scares, realizing that they're not that, they have no mobility, they can barely get around the house. and trying to convince them that
Yeah.
they need help is another issue. That would be another episode, but it is so important, and not to wait until it's you're sick or you're not well to start. So you got to keep that. There is I mean, it's kind of known now, there's quite a lot of decline on like movement activities. People don't move as much, and especially don't go outside. And this is something that you advocate a lot, is just get outside, get moving. Is there something that people could start doing now to kind of change that habit and get into the habit of going outside, getting the kids outside, and get started on a better habit?
Yeah, I think because you have to think about it too, that getting outside is really important for our mental health and our physical health. Also, our emotional health, being outdoors, is really important. So parents advocating and getting outside and being the role models for their kids is really essential. It shows, research has shown that kids as young as 7 start declining in their physical abilities, that really as young as that, just imagine, just take a moment and consider that statistic. That's really upsetting. A lot of, and so getting kids are more sedentary these days than they used to be. And so that particular study was replicated a number of times in different countries. So it's across the world. It's not just in Europe. It's not just. So the idea of getting us outside and moving, instilling positive habits. So parents can do that, actually. Parents can get it and be that role model. And when I was a young woman, I wasn't keen on going outside either. But once I had children, they liked to play outside. So snow pants and the cashcoo and the toque and warm winter boots got to be our thing. You know, we were outside in the snow, playing and making forts and all those kind of things for hours at a time, going for walks, even in winter time, and in parks and in areas, sliding and playing at the parks. Parks are not just for summer. So you can go and play in the park, play lots of different games and chase each other around. It's lots of fun. Kids enjoy the game aspect. And it's a way of incorporating parents and kids into it. So if we can instill those habits early, and if parents can, they have to actually step up to the plate to emulate and to be that role model to get kids outside. I remember when we first moved to Ottawa, I'm from South Shore, Montreal, and my kids were always out all the time. And because it was a new city to us, we didn't have quite a lot of knowledge, you know, when you move different schools. And we would go out every day and play street hockey, winter, spring, summer, fall. And then the kids in the neighborhood would start to come and play with us. And even the parents, we'd have games after nighttime, all fun, kids of all different ages. And it was great. We had so much fun. And then the wonderful three little boys next door who played with us all the time got some electronic devices, and they were no longer to be seen again. These were the kids that were climbing in the trees, causing mayhem and having a lot of fun. So making sure that kids get that outdoor time, play time, and limiting, which is what nobody wants to hear, the sedentary time. Yeah. So kids need to move. They need to sweat. They need to get regular sleep. So instilling habits early in with them is really important. And they need as much sleep when they're teenagers as they do when they're little, right? Just different, couple hours difference. So building healthy bones, running around, even though teenagers do it on a different time frame, right? Which doesn't always coincide with, unfortunately, school hours and grown-up hours, but they need their sleep as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It's really important. And I worked in daycares for forever. Kids, I'll speak specifically to the people that are up north. Kids love to play outside in the winter. They don't feel the cold. You dress them up. I mean, you just add layers and layers. Just dressing up is a workout. And it's the parent, it's the adults that don't want to go. So the kids are deprived, or they're not able to go and let out some steam, because the parents can't be bothered. Well, it's not that they can't be bothered, but they can't get it in their heads that they too can have fun in the cold. So, you know, add those layers, the cashew.
I
love it. Cover the neck, cover it. Sometimes you just have the eyes, and the kids are just like, they look like a starfish just kind of moving. But that's the fun part. And it is kind of therapeutic in a way, especially in the snow, but get out there.
Coolness.
So the adults really do have a role in this, because Kids can't go outside on their own, not anymore. And when they do, they don't really know what they can do. So parents have to
We
kind of.
need to re-educate both parents and kids on how that happens. And it's not simply to, it's easy to say the last 4 years with the pandemic, but that's not really the case. It was long before that. And in a lot of communities, I belong to a free fitness that they have. Now, I'm lucky here in Ottawa, we have a number of free fitness, which includes families. So people get together and they start coming for free fitness. The kids run up and down the hills all seasons. In the winter time, you run up and down the hill with the toboggan. You slide down. Maybe at the bottom, you do a couple of squats. You get moving. But it's all parents, kids, dog friendly. And you know what? If you don't have that in community, you can start one. So because my community didn't have one and they found it was too hard to drive, and which is inconvenient, because it's not easy to get kids ready. But if it's like down the street, you just have to show up and play. And so if you can't be the change maker in your community. If you can't make it, then you be the change maker, right? Put on, and it's all seasons. You can get out and skip, hop, just like I used to do in school. Recess was a time to move and do a lot of bone building. We didn't know it at the time. Or muscle building, right? All those activities we did, hopping and skipping and jumping, playing basketball, encouraging kids to get outside. I mean, there's a whole slew of things that we could schedule into our activities, right? As a family, schedule play dates for little kids to get outside and play, options for parents to take kids to different places. You can explore nature. It doesn't have to be all out sport all the time. You can just go for a hike as a family. Check the birds out, look at the frogs, as you're bending down to pick up sticks, stones, all those kind of things. Create outdoor challenges. When my granddaughters come, one of my favorite things to do is I take the hula hoops and and I place them all around the backyard, and they have activities that they have to do in each hula hoop as they're placed. And dollar store, go and get some cones. And another place, we take chalking on the driveway, so we can use the whole yard. And if you don't have a yard, then you go to the park. There's always a park nearby. Grab a chalk, outline some hopscotch, or outline some at this X, you need to stop and do three jumping jacks, or you need to climb on the. It's just leading by example, right? And that's the key. And join community programs. There's so many things that we have to offer if we just look. And it doesn't have to be, because here's a statistic. Kids should have 1 hour a day of moderate to vigorous exercise. 1 hour a day. They should have about 2 to 3 hours a day of light exercise. That's 3 hours. They need, let's say, 10 or 11 hours, 10 hours of sleep. And give them about 2 hours, then limit that time that they're spending on the computer or something else. But the participation, the physical fitness from 1960 still, it recommends that kids get 1 hour of vigorous, moderate to vigorous exercise a day. I don't think that happens. And we can't depend upon the schools to do it anymore, right? And
They
parents
cut
could
out.
use it. Parents could use the exercise as well. So, but that's a lot of numbers if you think about it. That's 3 hours of exercise a day. I don't think we get 3 hours a week for most kids.
Oh, that is
And
so true.
yeah, and all those activities are fun to do if we can encourage kids to play with them. So they need to have sleep, and all of those behaviors that you instill in those things, the exercise, the good eating, healthy sleep hygiene, which sounds an odd way to frame it, but all of those things come into, if you have those in your life, you feel better.
And it also helps to regulate emotions, especially in children. Your
Exactly.
child, you'd rather your child be bouncing from one hula hoop to another than bouncing off the furniture. So the
Yeah,
energy is
that's it.
there. They're going to spend it anyway. You might as well have something constructive. And it doesn't have to be expensive. It doesn't have to be all structured play.
No.
Just like you say, you just go outside,
Yeah.
go to the park, go on this, you know, a place where it's a bit more open and just have fun the way we used to
Yeah.
play. We just
Yeah.
forgot how to. No, it's so
Yeah.
important.
And that finding that joy, whatever it is, if it's organized sports, maybe that's what turns their crank and makes them happy. Maybe it's house league games. Maybe it's just going to the park and chasing the ball around, or just having space to run. Whatever the particular child's interest is, that's what they need to find, what makes them happy. And sometimes they don't know yet. As you said, they have to really learn how to play again. So how do you do that? Well, maybe you make fitness a family affair to start off. Maybe if as an adult, a parent goes to the gym, maybe you take the kids around one time, show them, or let them see you get ready. Do warm-ups with them, stretch with them. Maybe if it's not community sports, then maybe you get on your bike. Maybe it's a family walk, even if it's around the neighborhood. If you're in the city, maybe it's a walk around the city and a scavenger hunt. Who can find the most stop signs, or who spots the most mailboxes, or how many cars of this color, right? So things like that, and getting outside to encourage that activity. I know my grandkids go out with their parents and they go for bike rides and family bike rides. And when my kids were little, we went to, if mom didn't get her run in, I took it a little bit to the extreme, but if I didn't get my run in, my kids had to bike. And I said, "Mom didn't get a run in today, so come on, jump on your bike." And they did the kilometers with me. And we might have been stopped in those days. Oh, you wore your bike helmet, so the police on bicycles would give them a coupon for a free ice cream at McDonald's. And in my mind, it meant, "Oh, good, we get to bike to McDonald's. Mom gets to run."
I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, this it doesn't have to be out of your way. You could just make it part of your routine, and that's
Yeah.
what we that's I think that's what we forgot, is if the kids are forgetting how to don't know how to play anymore, it's because we don't know how to play
Yeah.
anymore, because we're the one
Yeah.
teaching them. I like your approach. This is what I really like about you, is you work a lot on changing our bad habits, so we're not taking on new stuff. We're just going to get rid of the stuff that doesn't help us at all.
Yeah.
So what is the best
Yeah.
approach? Because I like your approach. Can you kind of explain the best approach to get to take away a bad habit?
Take away a bad habits.
Take away a bad
So
habit.
ultimately, I guess we put it down here. You can't eliminate a bad habit unless you replace it. Does that
Right.
make sense?
Yes.
So yeah, so you can't take it away because that willpower forces us to fight against it. You can only hold it back for so long. And you might be able to tough it out for a little bit. There's a quote. I'm going to just read it from Brendon Burchard, who is a high performance coach. And he says, "First, it's an intention. Then a behavior, then a habit, then a practice, then a second nature. Then it is simply who you are." So habits have to be ingrained. So that's why starting young is really, really important. But once you have a habit, let's say you got a really great habit and you started going to the gym. But after the gym, you picked up this great latte and a croissant at the boulangerie next door after your workout and went, "Well, I got a great." So after the first time, those endorphins tell you, "Remember the time we went to the gym? That was so good." Because you're remembering the aftertaste. That the next time you go to the gym, you work out, you have a great workout, feels good, you've got the endorphins going. And then you go, "I'm missing something. Oh yeah, next door, the latte and the croissant." So maybe the second, and by the third time, it's become a habit. So before we get there, maybe the latte becomes a smoothie with protein. Maybe it becomes something with some vegetables or fruit, healthy. Maybe instead of the croissant, it becomes something like an apple. Not quite the same thing, but if we change that and replace it with something else, is the key part of it. And so if we can think of, like, typically on changing healthy habits, you can't rely on the willpower, because we can hope for good results, but it takes time to rewire our brain for lasting change, right? So the first thing is, know that, and we can say it, but know it so that when we go to change a habit, that we go, this is going to be good for me. It'll help. I have to be patient. I have to be compassionate with myself. And I'm working towards this goal. It's not going to happen overnight. Because even simple things like sometimes they say adding an extra glass of water to your day can take anywhere from 3 weeks to 265 days.
Wow.
So there's no real like that it's a fallacy to say, you know, in 3 weeks or 4 weeks, you can change a habit. Maybe you can, but it's not realistic for everybody or most people. So you have to be kind and generous to yourself.
Yeah.
You have to set a plan of action, what you want to do. For example, if you're that example that I gave, that you're going to the gym or you're going to play pickleball, it's going to take time to get that idea out of your system, right? So you want to replace it with something else. You want to think about the importance of your choices and embracing that day, that you don't give yourself a difficult time, but also recognizing you are responsible for this, right? You're the one who taking accountability. So I have lots of clients, the same thing. They go, but the chocolate is right there. I know. And it's calling to you. It's calling to you, or because it's the holiday season, everything is right there in your grasp. So, or within your eyesight. So how do you get rid of that? So that's the hard part, right? You have to make a plan. Idea is always make a plan. So you write down why you want to change. And it's like journaling. And then start making that game plan. So what do I think this means when I see pizza or I see something, what do I want to do? And prepare yourself mentally, because that's the hard part, for the discomfort that's going to happen, either from friends saying something or the need for real change. You're going to want to have it anyway. You're going to try to eliminate that tempting situation, right? If it's something that's a bad habit, maybe you're staying up too late, and you know, you're hooked on your phone. So what can you do, especially as kids and as grown-ups, what can you do to avoid those tempting situations? What can you replace it with? If it's unhealthy food, try not to have them in your house. Take kids grocery shopping. Let them be part of the process. So when you go shopping, it'll take longer. It always will. But what's longer and harder in the beginning, you're instilling in them through all their life. Taking the time to make the meals. When my grandkids are here, just like my kids, you know, you set the table and Marlo, you come and help me do this. And then Shay, who's going to turn 7 this week, Shay, come help me make the protein smoothie. Do you want to do this? Add the, you know, we'll use chocolate protein instead. We'll add the milk in. But, you know, Marlo, cut the banana. You add this in. This one gets it takes longer and it's not for every day, maybe weekends at least. Yeah. Make the muffins together. If you're going to make muffins, which are breakfast cupcakes, let's put it that way.
Exactly.
Really basically. So don't make them breakfast cupcakes. Make them healthy as best as you can, right? Yeah. Include those things. Get the kids. The nutrition part is almost the biggest key.
Yeah.
Step away from and getting kids involved in that. What's another tip? Let's see, replacing it like with a hobby or something that you like to do. Mm-hmm. So let's say you're trying to rid yourself of one after school. You have typically a couple of cookies, you lay out, you watch TV. Is there something else the kids and you can do instead of maybe running around stretching? Maybe you play a family game, something silly that makes you all laugh, that you get that emotional giggle, right?
Right.
Just some ideas to, and celebrate. The biggest part of it is celebrating. Celebrate the win. Woot, woot. I made it, you know, like this whole day, I didn't think of wanting to have X or whatever, and give yourself a pat on the back. Good job. Good job. Celebrate the little wins. It's good. Give yourself a hug. The best person in your life is you. So give yourself a hug, right?
It
does
really
that kind of help?
It really does help, yeah, and especially those little mini wins, you do need to celebrate, even if you think you look silly. And the kids, if you have the kids around, they're gonna love that. They love to, they're like the best cheerleaders ever for anything. It's like, oh, I found a feather, yay! You know, they're all excited. So, yay, I had a smoothie, you know, so they will cheer you on. And I like that you said, you know, take the kids grocery shopping. That's a nightmare for most parents, but
I
we're
know.
teaching them life, important life skills. They need to know what to look out for when they're grocery shopping so that they don't fall. Sorry, they don't fall into that snack aisle and just have everything all processed food and completely forget about the produce, you know. So it's important to be out there, and we have to relearn it. And I like how you said that the willpower will not do it alone, because the willpower will also you talk you back into the bad habits. So you mentioned they'll be like, oh, come on, you've been good all week, just one more, you know, like you can stop off for a croissant, that's my mini win, right? You can talk yourself into it, and next thing you know, you're back to every day. What are the best tricks? You've named some of them in the last questions, but to hold ourselves accountable when we see that we're slipping, what is the best approach for us? So do you have some tips that we could share you could share with us to keep us on
I
track?
will. I just want to remind, think of the days. Fridays used to be the biggest day in all the coffee shops for all the gâteries, right? All the treats.
Oh yes.
So all the cochonneries, everything there, because all the treats. Because at the end of the week, everybody felt like they deserved that cinnamon bun this size. So yeah. So the best way, I think, is getting yourself into the mindset that you're trying to, which is hard because you have to make that complete mindset that you want to think of your life a little bit longer than just the present moment. And maybe having kids, for example, one of the tricks that I use from when my kids were little, when we were having breakfast, I'd have them read to me the ingredients that were on the box. So we used to
Oh,
play, we
yeah.
called it play ingredients. And so the kids would sit there and I'd say, so tell me the ingredients on the, and they couldn't say most of the words anyway, but it's great to help sound out too. Plus we all make funny words to all the chemical sounds that are in there. So nobody's wrong. We're all good and we have a good laugh. But it causes that moment when they're little to think of it. What exactly am I putting in my body? Why? So moments of reflection, kids can still understand that they don't they little kids can understand that when you say to them, right? So and like you, those kind of moments where they reflect on those things, seeing what they're eating, what they're ingesting, it takes a long time to develop a habit, right? So we want to make sure that everyone has that generous approach to themselves, because not everybody's gonna be the same thing. So even if you're in a family and there's four of you, everybody is different. So what works for one person isn't going to work for the other. I think supporting each other in that connection, whether you're a person who lives by themselves or you have a family, supporting each other, reaching out if you need help, knowing very well that you need to, that we don't survive on our own, I think is key. So reaching out to the people who are professionals to help for children such as yourself. When people don't recognize some of the behaviors that are happening in kids, it might be related to the fact that they're not moving enough, they're not eating enough, or eating enough of the right things, or eating some of the things that cause them to be problems. A lot of chronic diseases and a lot of kids' issues, health issues, stem from food and all the additives and processed foods that we have. Our health could be greatly benefited from changes in our lifestyle. So, recognizing that maybe 150 years ago we might have lived for to about 50 or 60, now we live a lot longer simply because we've eradicated childhood diseases, and with most of them with through vaccination and health and advances of medicine and getting rid of illness and infection. But we haven't improved things greatly. And so it falls upon us that those quality of our years, children especially, when you see them, the suffering of the obese, most obesity rates rising in kids, and inactivity levels, that we can really significantly have to make changes in our own behaviors now, like right now. We should have done it 20 years ago. maybe 40. But we have become accustomed to the processed foods. We've become accustomed to the speed of it, that we are not taking care of our inner bodies, or that we allow the rest of it to gently fall apart. It doesn't mean that, you know, when you go out for fast food, that's, don't feel guilty about it. Sometimes that's the only thing that's available at the time. So allowing yourself that compassion, that, but don't have it happen a lot. Does that make sense?
Like, it makes a lot of sense.
Once is okay, but when it starts to become two or three times a week, you're instilling poor habits, not just amongst yourself, but your kids, and it affects them in the long term. It might not show up right now, but it will show up in a short period of time. Yeah.
Yeah. And you're right. And that kind of does affect when you think about it, thinking long term. We're thinking, I'm hungry now and I'm craving this, but in 20 years from now, when I have inflammation and chronic pain and chronic, you know, all of that, we're not thinking, and that we're feeding that to our children as well. So we're setting them up for that life. It's, that kind of leads us to, you know, what advice, what leads us to, you know, longevity, because that's the main part of your new book coming up.
My new book.
You've mentioned a lot, but what really is the impact? What is, what should we be thinking about long term to make sure that we do have not only live longer, but have a good quality of life without too much chemical assistance to get us there? Yeah.
Thank you for asking that, because that is really, that was the focus of my, is the focus of my book, and why it's the impact of what we do daily. And that's where the habits come in, right? So, and it, my book started because of that, the healthy habits, what can help us through our lives? We want to live our lives as happy as we can, as joyfully as we can, but without pain. So just like as a fitness instructor, my first goal is to teach so that you are injury free, to remain pain free. So same thing in life. I mean, if this is occupying your mind because you've not been eating well or taking care of yourself, or you're injured, and a lot of things can simply be avoided simply by choice. So for me, it's a prioritizing your health first, your self-care. When you take care of yourself, then you're able to take care of others. You're building that foundation within you, right? That solid foundation of resilience and strength. And then you ripple that out amongst your community, your family, and you're able to take on challenges, let's say, in life much better. So it's important things like improved your health, your physical health, which is, we've talked about that a number of ways, your cardiovascular health, being balanced in your diet. So we've kind of talked about that, the adequate sleep for grown-ups as well as kids. We are under sleep in this country and across the world. Adults are, and when you are going to bed, you're busy on the phone, you're checking out so that you're not getting that rest. It better immune function. So when you eat a good diet, rich in vitamins and minerals, and you're being active, it helps your immune system, which really keeps us going longer in life. You want that weight management. So the number isn't that important on the scale, but maintaining a proper healthy weight, I mean, through regular exercise and good food, keeps away obesity related conditions, keeps away diabetes, which, and hypertension. So we're seeing in kids, which is really alarming, and young people, diseases we used to see in 50s and 60s and 70-year-olds, we're seeing those in 20-year-olds and sometimes even in kids, right?
Yeah.
And that, to me, if this to me is a really big crisis. And we talk a lot about emotional health, which is really important to people, but a lot of, not all of it, to say all of it, but having it related to longevity, if you feel better, your mental health feels a little bit better by relating healthy habits to some of these, you alleviate some of the extra steps that could help with depression, mood swings, and that's really closely related to what I think is having a healthy life, because if you can improve that as much as a child, by the time you go through the challenging years of being a teenager, a young person, you build a little more resilience, which is what we need to find. And sometimes resilience is overused in that word, but being able to manage things better because you're emotionally clear, because you're not thinking about, oh, my gut, I don't feel good. My body hurts. And think about all that. We talk about loneliness is a huge thing in our society.
Yes.
But isolation is not the same as aloneness. So teaching kids to enjoy the company of themselves, teaching even adults, keep company with yourself, learn to love yourself and be comfortable giving yourself what our family refers to as our alone zone, where you can where
I
you
love
can
that.
Sit in the company of yourself. And like my mother would, you know, kids go on board. Well, board leads to creativity sometimes.
Yeah.
Board leads you to, when I was a kid, I had the luxury of lying outside and looking up at the sky and creating clouds, or, you know, and looking
Yeah.
at them. That's important. You know that as an educator, how important that it, I want you to be bored a little bit. Figure it out a little bit. Think about some things you need to do. And on the flip side of that, longevity has a lot to do with connection. So you don't want to be isolated, but you need that time, like we are, this conversation.
Yeah.
Having the conversations with the people outside in your life, making the connections. If you don't have a connection, join a group. Go to the library. There's lists of groups that you can join at the library. People looking for connections, lots of social groups. It gives you those helping, healthy coping mechanisms if you can integrate some of these things into your life. That's, you know, I feel that's helpful. What do you think? Do you think that preventative care or any that would reach out to kids?
What's that?
Do you feel that preventative care would reach out to children?
I think it's important, yeah, to start early explaining, not just telling them you need to do this, but explaining why. And they're not going to be able to see what they're going to be like when they're 60. You know, they think 20 is old, you know, like you tell them you're 20 and to them you're 60. So, you know, they don't understand how long that is, but to understand why we do it this way. Yes, we could have the breakfast cupcake, but we don't, you know, look at mommy who makes all sorts of noises when she gets up off the floor. If you don't want to be like that, you know, if you don't want to be like that, let's eat something a bit. Let's get it some fruit in there, some real fruit and
some real fruit.
Veggies. Yeah, and some good protein. And let's start that way. Or let's walk to the corner store today just so that we can get some, you know, get the way I like to explain it to children is your heart is a muscle. You want that. You need to keep that muscle moving. Your brain is a muscle. You need that muscle to keep moving.
To keep moving.
You can't. So yeah, and I see it now with, because we're the sandwich generation, where not only are we taking care of our kids, but we're taking care of our parents as well. And you see it, that isolation, and it's harder when you're 70 to try to start making friends, you know. So
yes,
let's or your friends are kind of slowly depleting. It's
yes,
natural,
that is.
You know. So it's not time when you're 75 to say, oh, I need some friends, you know, like it's, but I like what you said. You go to the community center, you go to the public libraries, those are, they have a lot of programs, but just find people that have your interest, and right there, you're going to click and you don't have to force it. You like painting. Well, go to a painting class. You're going to meet people there that you're going to be able to talk about, to, because that's the other thing. What am I going to talk about? Well, let's talk about painting. You like painting, you know? Let's start there.
That's exactly it. That's brilliant. You want to play Scrabble? They have Scrabble leagues.
Exactly.
You know, and that competition, that healthy competition, like you said, getting out. And it's hard for, and it's hard, as you said, your sandwich generation. And I can see it in my daughter. And my daughter is 39 and her husband, and they have two young kids. And they're busy all the time. They're busy with their professional life. They've got kids. They're doing things with the kids all the time. So even some of my clients, you know what you do? You do yoga on the floor with your kids. You do your push-ups with the kids on the floor. They call me and they go, I can't come in. I can't train in person today. Can we do it by Zoom? And I'll go, sure, let's do it by Zoom.
Yeah.
and they're trying to do their workout, but they've got like a 40-pound kid on their back. Well, in my case, bravo.
That's amazing.
Excellent.
Yeah.
And so it's, you know, does it matter? It's the best push-up? No, but you're doing great. So
yeah.
I think all those things, and it makes me laugh. And that's what you have to find fun, that adaptability in your life. It's not
yeah.
cut and dry. It's my kids used to know that mommy used to get her extra run in. It
Yes.
sounds terrible, but I go, Bianca, Tristan, get on your bikes, get your backpacks. We're biking to the market, and we go
yeah.
to the fresh fruit market, and it'd be about 7 kilometers away. And because Tristan wasn't great at stopping, this particular road had very little stops because he was very young, and it
yeah.
was a long. And then he got better at his stopping and his biking.
That's good.
And he
See?
Gets to choose the kind of food that he wanted to have at the market. Go, we're going through the fresh vegetables, and that makes it fun and entertaining, you know? So, and they happen to have a play structure there. So incorporate as much as you can without it looking like a chore. And then
That's
it becomes something to look forward to.
That's
Yeah.
It. It's already in your routine, so you just have to go with it. I love that. I could talk to you all day about this, but let's talk about your books real quick.
Oh,
you
yeah.
have the one, Healthy and Fit for Life,
For
that's
life.
right there behind you. I
Yeah.
love that because it does help. And I love
Yeah.
that, especially for people my age, to keep it so that we do, you know, eventually, if we fall, we are able to get back up. We don't have to wait
Yes.
for somebody to come pick us up,
Yeah.
that kind of thing. But you're also working on a new one. So can you talk to us a little bit about
So my new book is on longevity. I'm really excited. It's called In Search of Longevity, How to Engineer a Life of Healthy Habits. So what we've been talking about today, how to instill this in all our lives, kind and compassionate always, loving to ourselves and knowing that we want. And just as you said, for here's the reason, when I was in university, I studied physical education. And the idea then of me teaching middle-aged women was like shocking to me. Why would I want to do that? I was 20. I want to spend my time with 20-year-olds and having fun, right? And so
right.
now as an older person, it changes. I volunteered doing the same thing. I just didn't do it as a job. So what we know as we're younger, we don't know until we're there.
Yeah.
And helping women, especially of 50 and getting, if you can hear whining, it's my dog, sorry. getting people to understand you need to get up off the floor if you fall.
Yeah.
Healthy. You need to. So from a serious standpoint as an adult, so many adults, even 40, can't get up and off down the floor.
Yeah.
And I challenge everyone who's listening here, try 5 ways to get up and off the floor, 5 different ways without
Yeah.
using your hands. And if you can't do that, then that's fine. Sit on a chair and then try it that way. And if you can do that, sit on an ottoman or a little stool. Make it lower until you can do that. How long can you hold on to something gripping? So farmers walk, and that grip strength is really important. And keeping that longevity. How fast do you walk? Like, can you walk at a good clip? That is related to the mental capacity and your decline in your health. So we want to make sure, or I want to make sure, that as many people have their last decade living as well as they can, as healthy as they can. So that's what I wrote about this book. So to encourage people, can I show you my calendar?
Yes. I love the calendar.
So this is my calendar. And I did my last dot yesterday. Every Sunday, I fill in 1 square of a week that's completed.
Wow.
So this is my life in weeks from the time I was born until the age of 80. I might live till 90. I might live till 100. But I chose 80 to remind myself to foster gratitude every day.
Right.
And to really cherish this. Now, sometimes this particular calendar has a to folks, but I'm hoping it doesn't. I'm hoping it's just like a little bit of a wake-up call to cherish every moment and every day.
Yeah.
And that's really it.
It's really important because when you look at it, it gives you a really good visual of the weeks that are behind you and how many weeks are in front of you. So making
Exactly.
decisions about your health kind of you realize, whoa, okay, I'm there. And so it's so important. It was a great visual.
And what we didn't notice, what we didn't know younger, we know now. So it's never too late. It's never
That's
too
it.
late to replace those habits that are not contributing to our well-being and replace them with something that does and make it fun. Because if it's not fun, you're not going to do it.
Oh, exactly.
Right? So that's human nature. You have to find some enjoyment. So that's what my book's about. And hopefully it will inspire people to get up and move and get closer with themselves, also with family, and learn.
And it's better to do it of your own will than when it's too late and you're faced with reality of not being able to get up off the floor when you slip down and yeah.
And that's traumatizing. It really, really
It is.
is.
It is. It's yeah, it's something. It's we've
Well,
lived it through it with our parents, but yeah,
yes.
you don't want to be there.
And
We don't
I
know,
don't
and they
want
don't want to
anyone
be
to
there.
be there. And it sounds blunt, but it's not as much, I mean, you'll do it willingly and with a great heart that you love your family and you want to help people. And the same thing when I was in feeding my mom because she couldn't feed herself, and I fed the other three people at the table. Every day I went to the long-term care and I fed them. My mother was a lovely woman. And she was had it's and that you can't put that food and exercise is going to do that for Alzheimer's. That's not quite yet determined. But it's the emphasis of a lot of research and basis of study, that cardiovascular part that sends energy and blood flow to the brain, and that exercise creates that capacity and that stimulation. So exercise really is that longevity pill. Exercise is that elixir that will help you have a longer, better life. They have established that. And it doesn't mean, if you're not a marathon runner, you don't have to be. You could go out in your yard and garden. Do something every day for yourself. And that's basically, I just want people to move more.
So important. And what else is coming up? We have the new book coming up soon. And what else have you got going on that you could share?
Well, I have one more book coming out. It's underway and I'm writing a book about a family affair, fitness with parents and kids, and my two granddaughters are writing it with me. So
I
it's going to
love
be a
that.
family book. Isn't that great?
That's
So
great.
Marlo, who turns 9 this week, and Shay, who turns 7, will be helping me write a family affair. And they're already been all through the pandemic. Sometimes they stayed with us and they would be teaching my classes to bring a little joy and light when I was teaching online. So now they're going to help me prepare the next book.
I love that. Oh, I love that. That's gonna be
Isn't that
fun.
sweet? I'm so excited. I'm so excited.
That's
Yeah.
such a
So,
great project. That's amazing. Oh, before we sign off, I always ask my guests this this one question is and it's what do you want to be when you grow
good question, because I don't know if I'm ever going to grow up.
Exactly, right?
I
It's
don't
ironical.
ever want to grow up. I want to be kinder. I want to be more compassionate, more loving. But it's too late to be in the Cirque du Soleil. Maybe
Maybe not.
not. I'm not sure. But it's in my mind. But
I
I
love
would like to. I would love to be in the Cirque du Soleil. That would be so much fun. But I think I would like a more quiet. I would love to work with animals and have a sanctuary for animals. I think that's what I would really like.
love it.
Having children come and visit a place where there would be domesticated animals and farm animals that need a sanctuary, and giving them a little love and be in nature and take care of them. And I like the physical work of the part and the emotional connection with animals.
It's wonderful. I know I've been
I
around
taught goat
animals.
yoga and it made me so happy. I can't tell you. It sounds like a fad, but it all the kids from CHEO, from the Children's Eastern Hospital of Eastern Ontario, a lot of the different groups would come. And cancer patients came, people celebrating their 50th wedding anniversary. And they brought the whole family came for, and it was like 25 people doing goat yoga with me. And it was just makes people laugh. They find joy in it. Even the people who didn't want to play and thought it was a ridiculous idea, they spent so much time laughing that they enjoyed themselves. And that's really all it is, you know?
That's all it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I love it. I want to try goat yoga or puppy yoga or one of those.
Yeah.
It's just, I don't know. There's something about it. I love it. Now, if anybody wants to know more about your work, or they want to follow you or work with you, what's the best way to, and I'll put all that information in the description as well.
Thank you, Danielle. Thank you so much for all of this. I hope everybody comes out and does squats with me, but if they want to, and a few burpees, you know, everybody loves burpees.
Oh yeah. We love burpees. Yeah.
There was a t-shirt that says burpees hate you too.
I wish I bought that
t-shirt. So you can find me on Fitness with Shell. That's my website. And I encourage everybody to look at it because it's the cutest website ever. I'm so proud of it.
Yes.
A year ago, you would see that's the yoga off the mat. I would never have said I had a website. So fitnesswithshell.com. You can find me on LinkedIn, Shelley Murdoch. Mm-hmm. You can find me on Instagram, same thing, but it's Murdoch Shelley, all the same name. And you can find me on Facebook, Shelley Murdoch. So please follow me, join me. I offer fitness tips, sometimes some funny yoga, some workouts that you can do with your kids, some of the fitness I do with my granddaughters. Just check out my site and don't hesitate to contact me. I want to spread the global awareness to get people moving.
I love that. And yes, it's fun to watch your videos. So I invite everybody to get the inspiration of seeing it doesn't have to be that complicated. You could just do it real quick, get moving, do a squat with Shelley. It should be like a morning ritual. Just do one squat for Shelley.
Thank you. What a gift. Oh my God, the holiday season. I feel the love already. Thank you.
There you go. That's too funny. Oh, that's great. Oh, I could talk to you all day, and I'm sure we'll have you on again when the new books come out. And I'd love that. But thank you so much for sharing all that information. It really does kind of lay the foundation of what that looks like looking long-term. You know, we think about long-term, but we don't think, what if I don't have the mobility anymore. What if, you know, what can we do to prevent that? So thank you again so much for joining
thank
in.
Thank you very much.
Oh, no, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off there.
Me either, sorry.
That's okay.
But you want to be able to get into your clothes by yourself.
Yes. Oh my goodness, yes.
If that's a thought, you want to be able to get into your clothes by yourself.
Yeah.
And if they drop the socks on the floor, you want to be able to pick them up.
Yeah.
And before then, you want to make sure that you're having as much fun moving and playing and using this beautiful vessel that you were given.
Yeah.
Enjoy it. It doesn't matter what it looks like. There is no right or wrong to it. There's no shape that's right or wrong. It's yours. Love it. Take care of it. It's like your own Tamagotchi. Take care of it.
I love it. I know, it's so true. We don't think about that. We think about the major things, but just being able to drink your cup of tea in the morning, you know, without spilling it. No, it's so important. So thank you again. Thank you so much. And for everybody listening or watching, don't forget to like, follow, and subscribe to whichever channel you're listening or watching from. And don't forget to follow Shelley. I meant to say the channels and it came out like that. So don't forget to follow Shelley and get some ideas and some inspiration on how you can get moving a little bit more. And until next time, stay safe, stay awesome, and we'll talk soon.